Hey, I've been Dr. Tom. Now this is time for legal ID, so this is WFMU, East Orange, New Jersey, Uppsala College. I don't know when I'm going to be on next. Take your chances. What can I say? Okay, so Lou is going to be up very soon, so I'm getting out of here. It is 9 o'clock exactly, so goodbye. It's been fun. I'll be quiet.
All right, listen. Picture this. I want you to picture this, okay? Now, you know, I have an admission to make, an admission of just rank stupidity and blindness and naivete and insouciance and, of course, a great deal of jejunosity. Because, you know, I've been, from time to time, I get on the microphone and I express myself. And sometimes when I express myself on a particular topic, I wax wroth. And one of the things that over the past several months that I've been wrothing about is the fact that we've seen the virtual demise of Ma and Pa-ism. You know, little Ma and Pa stores. When I grew up right here in East Orange. I grew up over on Dodd Street, which is not too far from here, right on the corner of Dodd and Glenwood. Are you familiar with East Orange? You know, there's a park right across the street, Watsonson Park. And right on the corner there, across from the apartment in which I lived, there was Bill Moskowitz. Bill Moskowitz, you think I carp and complain? Well, Bill Moskowitz was the original kvetch. Ran a little corner Bill Moskowitz store. And, you know, get your hand out of the soda freezer. Get your hand out of there. The old-type soda freezers, you know, with the two doors, like a gullwing. Like, you know, the Mercedes gullwing coupes that DeLorean ripped off? Well, they used to be soda freezers like that, soda case. And it had gullwings, and you reached in there. It was wonderful. Oh, man, on a hot day, particularly a hot day in the early fall, out there playing football for 3 or 4 hours, you know, touch football. Let me tell you, we had a touch football game, lasted like 3 years. We really did. Dave Mellon and Jimmy Mellon and the Rice brothers, a couple other guys, Dave Irving, Bill Barres, Mike Del Gershio, and I. We had just went on and on. talk about floating crap games. Yeah, we had a 3-year touch football game over there. And you'd come across the street, you know, soaking wet, reach your hand into that freezer, get a bottle of Pepsi. Get your hand out of that freezer. I'm paying for that ice. Because that great big, you know, hunks of ice in there. Ah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You read the magazines, you know, sit around, talk to Bill. Bill was in a mood, you know, he'd give you a little free seltzer and stuff, a lot of free advice, and ask about your girlfriends, you know, pick his nose a little bit and then go make a couple of sandwiches. Wonderful place, Bill Moskowitz. And evening, Bill would lock up and he'd go walking down Dodge Street, lived in Bloomfield. And next to Bill Moskowitz, there was the Little Market. And the Little Market, the friendly Little Market, was run by Bill McKelvey. Bill McKelvey. Bill, and I think his wife's name was Alice. And little Bill McKelvey, who was as ill-tempered as Bill Moskowitz, was kvetching. And this kid didn't want to work in his old man's store. You know, he wanted to be doing something else. I don't know. He wanted to be making paper airplanes or something like that, or discovering the ultimate, I was going to say Playboy centerfold, but this was before Playboy centerfolds. And, oh, Bill McKelvey, you'd go in there with your list, you know, and, okay, Bill, I need a carton of milk, I need some white bread, my family was into eating white bread then because we were becoming Americanized, which is, if you're an Italian-American, you know what I'm talking about, but if you're not, I mean, if you're an Italian-American, you know the concept of. Does anybody know this, by the way? I'd appreciate a phone call later on from anybody who might know the concept of Medigan. Do you know that? Or aren't there any more of you out there? Well, I get, you know, my white bread and my milk from Bill McKelvey, maybe half pound of chopped. And then I go over to Ami's Market. And Ami was the local butcher, but I didn't let him see the chopped meat. See, my mom didn't buy the chopped meat from Ami because he's too expensive and chopped meat. But you went from Ma and Pa to Ma and Pa, you know, and somehow it disappeared, right? Hey, wait a minute. Stop the music over there. Hold it. It all disappeared. Ma and Pa's were taken over, of course, when larger corporations saw that they could do it more cheaply and more efficiently. And they didn't see. I mean, they knew all along they could do it more cheaply and more efficiently. It was a consuming public that said, hey, this is cheaper. I can buy, you know, my white bread for 6 cents less than at McKelvey's. And, you know, Ma and Pa's began going. But, you know, I had this epiphany. Ma and Pa-ism is back. Yeah, well, you see, what's happened now is Ma and Pa is now an arbitrager. Ma and Pa is now, you know, some guy who buys up, you know, just one guy says, hey, okay, I'm going to buy up Altman's. And he screws up, whether intentionally or not, the financing of it with, you know, junk bonds and stuff like that, things that you and I don't understand. And in a couple of years, he just, you know, Altman's closes up. Bloomingdale's, you know, closes up. And the difference, you see, between the old Ma and Pa and the new Ma and Pa, that is, with the old Ma and Pa, if the old Ma and Pa went under, Ma and Pa suffered. You know, maybe they had a little dough put away. Maybe they didn't. But generally, they took the loss on the chin, and Ma and Pa had a rough time of it. But with the new Ma and Pa, the new Ma and Pa, he doesn't suffer a whole lot. He just, you know, writes it off, and he goes somewhere else, and he steals some money somewhere else. But meanwhile, you understand, the people who worked for 27 years for the corporation, which was taking care of its people who worked for 27 years are without a job, and they're without a pension, they're without a medical program, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the Ma and Pa just walks away and shrugs his shoulders and says, well, you know, couldn't make a go of it. Boy, that's, I mean, am I off base or have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Have you spoken to any of the people in the stores that are going out of business all over us? You know, they're falling like trees in a bad storm. And I had a guy, an old gentleman in Altman's, say to me a couple of weeks ago, well, yeah, I told him it was kind of sad. The store was closing. And he said, yeah, they were giving him a couple more weeks' pay. And, you know, he just sort of would have to look for something. And, you know, he had no pension from it. And, well, I don't want to start off on a sour note, but, you know, I just happened to be thinking that before. And, boy, oh, boy. We'll be right back.
Look what the sun has done to me. Some folks say there's no more fun for me. A lot of these fellas act so shy, and I think I know the reason why. I may be brown as a fairy, but that's only secondary. You can't tell the difference after dark. May not be so appealing, biting like Maureen. Oh, but I got a certain feeling, and you can't tell the difference after dark. They say the gentlemen prefer blonde-haired ladies. You got to be out of your mind if you think I'm out of style just because I'm slightly shady. Wait until I've won you and wrap these long brown arms around you. You can't tell the difference after dark. Brown is a berry. Ha! Baby, that's only secondary. You can't tell the difference after dark. Talk to me. Ha! I may not be so appealing, but honey, you'd be surprised. I've got that certain feeling. You can't tell the difference after dark. They say the gentle blonde-haired ladies, says you. Oh, you got to be kidding if you think I'm out of style just because I'm slightly shady. Wait until I'm one year. Wait on, ladies, you need to line a jive of mine upon you. You can't tell the difference. You won't be able to tell the difference. In fact, they say there's an amazing difference after dark.
And I know he's wild about me. At the love stuff, he's not a real sheep man, 'cause I'm the roaring lion, he's the poor weak lamb. Has he squeezed me? No. Has he pleased me? No. Has he told me tales of friends? Has he ever kissed me unawares and whispered, honey, take a chance? Well, he hadn't up till yesterday, but I guess he will tonight. I've been on the wrong track long enough. I'm gonna start and do things right. And when I get my arms around him and I hug with all my might, and if he's never called for his mother, then I guess he will tonight. And he hadn't up till yesterday, but I guess he will tonight. I'm gonna show him in the parlor why a girl turns out the light. I won't waste any time on talking. I'll stop right in on sight. And if he's never forgotten his Bible. You can bet he will tonight. Now I'm determined to make him give in. I'm just crazy to have him begin. He's not a sheik now, but when I get through, Ronald Coleman will never do the things he'll do. Shall I make him? Yes. Shall I take him? Yes. Shall I burn him up with bliss? But up to now, I must confess, he's never even tried a kiss. Well, he hadn't up till yesterday, but I guess he will tonight. That son of a gun's gonna start right in, getting next to things all right. Say, for his love I'm so hungry, that his cheeks I'll start a bite. And if he's never had his moments, well, I guess he will tonight. And he hadn't up till yesterday, but I guess he will ride soon. He may be the slowest man under the sun, but wait till I get him under the moon. He's gotta love his big fat mama. He'll get no chance to fight. And my name isn't Sophie Tucker. If that guy don't fall tonight.
Yeah, more. it said when she was just 5 years old, there was nothing happening at all. Every time she puts on the radio, there was nothing going down at all. Not at all. Then one fine morning, she puts on a New York station, and you know she don't believe what she heard at all. She started shaking to that fine, fine music. You know her life was saved by rock and roll.
Right, he had all of the lowdown. and his wife was a thief. All the children were killers. They couldn't get no relief. The bungalow was surrounded when a voice loud and clear said, come on out with your hands up or we'll blow you out of here. There was a face in the window. The TV cameras rolled. Then they cut to the announcer. Story was told.
Sometimes I'm good, then I'm bad. Although my home has been broken, it's the best home I ever had.
Thank you. John Gibbons performing the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, and specifically the toccata in E minor BWV 914 on a harpsichord. And I'm looking through the liner notes to see if I can find what you hate. Here it is, a William Dowd harpsichord. Circa, let's see, 1984, and it was a harpsichord that was based, the construction of which was based on an 18th century harpsichord by a maker by the name of Mietke in Berlin. I love to listen to harpsichord music, not only because of the timbre of the instrument, but you hear all that noise going on in the background, you know, all of the banging and crashing of the mechanism of the harpsichord. It's beautiful. John Gibbons. And before him, Sakara Dogs from the Thirst CD. Sid Straw, Neil Young, Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground, Sophie Tucker. And that was recorded in August 1928, just before you were born. Alberta Hunter with You Can't Tell the Difference After Dark. Speaking of not being able to tell the difference, this is WFMU in East Orange. You're in the dark, and so are we about so many things in life. Memphis Slim and Matt Murphy before Alberta Hunter. I almost, wow, what a Freudian slip that would have been, huh? I almost called her Alberta Humper. And before Memphis Slim, Dr. John, Mac Rebenek, and we began with the Neville Brothers. Now, I was at my friend's house a couple of weeks ago. I gave him his Christmas gift. And made a deal with him, by the way. I said, hey, if you can guess what this is, I'll give you a week to guess what this is. I'll give you a bottle of the finest champagne, your choice. And, man, he couldn't get it, the poor man. He was racing to meet a deadline, writing an article for some national publication, which is, you know, was kind of important work. But I stole a couple of hours from him when he tried to figure this out, and his daughter figured it out. His little snot-nosed 9-year-old daughter got it like that. She says, well, of course, anybody knows that that's a... And she said what it was. Now, I don't want to say what it was in case, you know, the guy's listening. I don't want to give it away. But, I'm in his house, right? And I walk down the hall toward his living room. And there on the wall is this great big framed print, a reproduction of a Neville Brothers album, with the signatures of all the Neville Brothers on it. I said, wow, being in commercial radio has its perks. And he just, yeah, it's kind of played it off. But boy, what an artifact. Of course, I wouldn't mind having that, but I'd like to have, like, maybe an album cover from Jimmy Lunsford. You know, signed by the Jimmy Lunsford saxophone section. Oh, boy. But, I'm toiling here in anonymity. Speaking of toiling in anonymity, look at this. There's a brand new PSA book. I'm going to just leaf through it. Look at this. It's slim. Look at that thing. It looks like the kind of thing, you know, a guy in a, not a Brooks Brothers suit, but, you know, a custom-made suit, one of the Italian suppressions at the waist would carry around. And look at this. It's beautiful. It looks like a portfolio. It's got the same old crap in it, though. Nothing new in here. Nothing new in here. Huh. Well, look, hey, while I'm leafing through here, we'll just keep on listening to some Bach. Bach is always nice when you're looking through the PSA. Ah, yes. The month of January brings winter colds, springs from shoveling snow and post-holiday dieting. By the way, guys who read, you know, that kind of voice with that music in the background aren't supposed to stumble over words like holiday, but what the hell? To learn more about fitness, nutrition and diet, weight and stress, contact the Clara Moss Medical Center TelMed program. TelMed is a special collection of health information tapes provided by the Medical Center as a free community service. Interested persons can call area code 201-751-7000 and ask for any tape by number and hear a brief description of the problem. TelMed has over 325 tapes available on a variety of health-related topics. To receive a free brochure of the tapes, call 201-450-2116. This one over here. Oh. Let's see. Do not read this unless there's no law. We have peace or soldiers. Okay, it says I'm supposed to read this. By now, many of you have heard that WFMU is facing a serious threat to its existence. Three other non-commercial radio stations have asked the FCC to cut our power from 1,440 watts down to 650 watts. The FCC is considering their request and will make a ruling sometime this year. If we do have to drop our power to less than half of what it's been for 25 years, we will lose many listeners, perhaps including you, and have a very difficult time raising enough money to pay our bills. There are a lot of things listeners can do to help. But right now, we're trying to collect as many individual letters as possible from listeners. We will collect these letters, and when we have 5,000 to 10,000 of them, we will submit them to the Federal Communications Commission. We've already received hundreds of letters, and we thank everybody who has already sent theirs in. If you have not written a letter of support yet, here is the information to include. Pregnant pause while you get a pencil or a pen. How long you've been listening to or contributing to WFMU. If you listen to WFMU despite spotty reception, include that in your letter. Write about what the station means to you. If WFMU were to disappear from your radio dial, write whether or not you would be able to find a substitute for it. Be sure to include your full name and address. Send your letters to WFMU, Attention Station Manager, Uppsala College, East Orange, New Jersey, 07019. May I go through that again, please? How long you've been listening or contributing to WFMU, and if you listen to WFMU despite spotty reception, include that in your letter. Write about what the station means to you. If WFMU were to disappear from your radio dial, write whether or not you would be able to find a substitute for it. And be sure to include your full name and address. Send your letters to WFMU, Attention Station Manager, Uppsala College, East Orange, New Jersey, 07019. Please do not write to the FCC or to your congressmen or senators. Just write to us. Tell any friends or relatives of yours who listen to WFMU to write to us. We need as many individual letters as possible. You can hear a weekly update on our legal situation. Call in with your questions every Wednesday at 12:15. That's Wednesday afternoon. The update will be rebroadcast Wednesday evenings at 9:30 p.m. My name is Lou D'Antonio. This is the Hour of the Duck. I've been here for 27 years. Thank you.
whip and throw a splendor, a centaur, the end of the rainbow, the dam. Now that it's over, the grass and the clover grow over the ground where I land. Come back, Petunia, come back, I say. I'm hoping soon you'll be with me. I'm hoping soon you'll be with me to stay.
Yeah. Well, I can hear you coming. Shura, shura. Of the corner of my eye, you and that G walk inside.